fellow K Muscleheads, welcome to the third episode of the Super Muscle Cast, the podcast charting each and every episode of the Kinnikuman anime. I don't know why I said charting, we're just talking about them, although we will be hearing a little bit from the Superhero Research Institute towards the end of the program today, so they have charts and graphs, that's why that was on my mind. But luckily, not a lot is on my mind, and not a lot is going on, aside from the whole world being on fire, so with that, I'm just going to pitch it straight to the Punch King. How you doing this week, Punch?
Well, I can't find my mind either. I'm like the Pixies. I'm asking, where is my mind? But I know where my body and voice are located. It's here in front of this microphone. We're going to do this, as we talked about a little bit before the broadcast. This could be an interesting one. So I'm game. Let's just crack right into it.
Excellent. So we've got ourselves Kinnikuman Episode 3, and we are still in the early phases of Kinnikuman, the Kaiju Extermination Arc, in which each episode is divided into two independent stories, and so I will continue giving you the names of each story, and those are 3A, Attack of the Space Monsters, and 3B, Kinnikuman's Big Hustle. Well, we're going to do Attack of the Space Monsters first, because it's the first one that happened, and what happens at the start of that? Well, some space monsters are coming to Earth, and let me tell you, it is quite a bunch. Punch, did you see any interesting members of this rogues gallery?
Oh, yes, I did. Not only did we have what appeared to be two purple star-speckled monsters flying through, the alien from Aliens made a cameo. We got what appeared to be, and later they'll explain a little bit more, the resurrection of the Abdullah monster. And then the Sheik monster also made a return. And I'm dropping their names right now because I am I'm already not doing too well on this, but they definitely are making an appearance here, and we recognize them from just a couple episodes ago.
Well, luckily for you, Sheik Monster's name is Sheik Sajin, which I believe means Sheik Monster, so we are pretty much covered on that one. Among our other people flying in space are a man with a dark skin tone, but a blonde, curly hair and beard and red trunks. There's that three-headed gimmick from the Godzilla movies. There is somebody who is wearing some kind of, I don't know what, cream-colored bodysuit and riding on roller skates. There is an astronaut flying a skateboard-looking deal, and there is a Santa Claus. And I believe that there might even be, in the second view of the monsters, you get a Darth Vader.
So they've got their bases covered. Now, a lot of them are just going to be throwaway pop culture references, but they're going to talk a little bit more about some of them later in the episode.
Absolutely. And, you know, as far as a time capsule goes, it's an interesting look into pop culture. We've got, you know, Aliens, we've got Star Wars, we've got the big things as of, you know, 1979/1983.
Yeah, the Godzilla monster as well, whose name I'm not remembering. King Ghidorah? That's probably not right. But
let's just say it is, and if it's not, I'll do another one of those edits where I think I can be sneaky and fix something in post, but it actually sounds really obvious.
All right, that sounds good to me. Obvious edits are pretty good.
Really, we're just rolling along with our little pal, Adarans Nakano, who is here as a representative this week of the Earth Defense Force as they prepare for this invasion of the space monsters.
Yeah, he, I liked him explaining his deal here. This was he's one of those good recurring side characters, and unfortunately he fell off the roof. He flew a little too close to the sun, a victim of his own hubris, but we appreciate his efforts.
You know, he introduces himself specifically as, sometimes I'm an Earth Defense Force officer, sometime, or other times, I'm a magazine editor, I'm often a pro wrestling announcer. Occasionally, I'm a pro wrestling commentator, too. And other times, I'm just an onlooker. In other words, I'm a man with many interests and hobbies, the kind of guy who can change his persona to adapt to any role. But my real identity is falls off the roof. Well, good for him. And now we go into the EDF headquarters where the general, one Don Piccadilly Keown, who is apparently, and I'm getting this information from the Kaniku Man wiki, a recurring character in Yurei Tamago's various works and was in fact the main character in their manga Shitamachi Senso.
Wow, so he's got some star power here. I did not realize that.
Indeed, and we will see him make recurring appearances with different jobs as the series goes on. So he's not quite as high profile as Adaran's Nakano or Yosaku-san, but he is another one of these guys who will keep popping up in different roles as need calls for.
What the gig economy is this? What is going on here? We already see he's a general, and he is a wrestler too, as we'll see in this scene, when the best of three series between him and his communications officer breaks out. So, and he gives me some Kung Fu Billy Graham vibes as a wrestler, with the mustache, the bald head, and sort of the otherwise, you know, plain but gruff demeanor. The recently departed superstar Billy Graham. But, as of this podcast. But, yeah, he's already got two jobs here. What, is he also trying to get out of this business? This is pretty wild.
Well, you know, the 80s were a wild time, you know? A lot of materialism, a lot of greed, a lot of people lining their pockets, a lot of generals moonlighting as doctors, and we're just going to have to see how that goes as time goes on.
Well, things were different back then, but now they're the same, so we're in luck.
I agree. So the EDF is, of course, aware of the incursion of these space monsters and the fact that they will arrive at noon. However, the Ultra Brothers are on a hot springs vacation. Superman has left his cloak at the cleaners and doesn't really seem to feel like coming. He actually just admits that he doesn't want to go and sticks his face in a big cake when they try to call him up. And Spider-Man, as you alluded to in the very first episode of our podcast, has slid down the front of a glass building and broken his butt, and now he's in intensive care.
And that's really a shame. You know, of all the people you'd think would be able to avoid that fate, you would guess that somebody who can cling to walls and climb across them would, but no. Superman in this is also noted as being PP Man. Is that a sort of juvenile pun on urinating, or is this just a way to get around trademark? What is PP Man?
I mean, I have to admit that with our Abdo doulas and so forth, and in the first episode, our Anade the Giant in place of Andre the Giant, I'm not sure that there are ever coherent jokes behind some of the trademark skirting actions here, but definitely riding, doing that classic Fire Pro thing of you can steal whatever characters you want so long as they have a name that isn't the real name but is somehow somewhat recognizable.
PP Man, though.
I think it's about urination.
Well.
And then, and so they are horrified by this course of events, the EDF officers, and they do the only natural thing, which is a 2 out of 3 falls wrestling match, which the general takes the first fall by feigning extreme pain while in a standing toe hold from his opponent, and this gives him the opportunity to wriggle out of the hold, give the guy a whole bunch of chops to the neck, throw him down, and get the first pin. And then Mr. Adaran's Nakano pops in and says, we don't have time for a best of three falls match. And so they counter with, how about a best of two falls match?
I think in the end it ended up being a best of one falls match because that also was not acceptable.
And, you know, that's all there needed to be. So, Don Piccadilly Keon retires undefeated from the sport of professional wrestling.
Oh, he won't be doing this again, really.
I don't think he takes it up again. There's not enough time for the minor characters to get in as many wrestling spots as the show goes on and more actual wrestlers show up to do the wrestling matches.
Okay, then. It's a really tragic outcome. He had a bright future in this business.
Well, they decide that something is better than nothing, and Kaneko Man is technically something, and so they send Adiran's Nakano to his home with a gift of Gyudon to recruit him to take care of the space monsters. I noticed that they actually pretty much kidnap him while he's eating his beef bowl. He doesn't realize that he's being transported to the EDF headquarters until he's finished eating, looks up, and then sees what a bind he's in. And so Kaneko Man, when he's told that space monsters are approaching Earth, naturally assumes that Ultraman or the American heroes will take care of them. You might wonder why he doesn't think that Terry Man would also be among the ones to take care of these invading space invaders.
Well, Terry Man is one of those American superheroes, isn't he?
He is, technically. He isn't given a specific reason why he's unavailable. He would be counted among the American superheroes, and in fact, this is in the manga episode 1, so Terry Man, for the manga readers, has not been introduced yet, and so they are not naturally wondering, where's Terry Man? Whereas we cartoon watchers who have seen things in a slightly different order have one superhero who is unaccounted for when the EDF scrapes the bottom of the barrel.
They're getting all funny with the timeline on us here already.
The general gives Kaneko Man the excuse that all of the other heroes are busy at a special conference off-planet, and then realizes his mistake and that something terrible is going to happen to him next scene, which it does as Kaneko Man grabs him and gives him a big old giant swing. Love that move.
Yeah, it puts red marks on his face for some reason.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, you know, all of the blood rushing to the head and you know, old people with their varicose veins and capillaries and the external occipital protuberance.
Well, that part's at the back of the head, but,
well.
Yeah, well, we'll take it. We'll take it.
And indeed. And so Kaneko Man settles down and agrees to take on the monsters and is given a slideshow of the various opponents that he will face, including Okamurasu, whose name basically translates to gay amorousness.
That's unfortunate.
It's a Japanese pun, and basically the idea is homosexual attraction. That's the monster with the yellow, purple body, yellow stars, and big lips.
Well, that's not great.
Not great. I don't recall any particularly problematic things coming up with Okamurasu. You know, the monster's just attracted to Kaneko Man, which some people could say is distasteful, but not necessarily offensive. But we'll have to keep an eye on things, and Kaneko Man expresses confidence in his ability to beat this monster, so much confidence that the EDF communications officer reasons, well, he must have beaten this monster once before. This is an in-joke for really in-the-know readers of the manga. I, in fact, just discovered this hours before the recording today, but apparently Kaneko Man has encountered Okamurasu once before in the pilot issue of the Kaneko Man manga from 1978, where they encounter each other and Kaneko Man comes out the victor. So even though this is issue one of the manga, in the know readers will know, in fact, Kaneko Man has had one previous encounter with this monster and come out ahead, and so the communications officer isn't just giving Kinnikuman too much credit when assuming that Kinnikuman is 1-0 against this particular kaiju.
That's interesting. I didn't pick up on that. But it does make sense now that it's explained that way. They also call out a couple of the other monsters here, and that's how you know that the Abdodula monster is Abdodula Jr. and not the regular Abdodula, who, as we saw, died in the previous episode. And there was a bit of confusion when I saw what appeared to be Abdodula appearing in this one. And I think, you know, cartoon characters come back to life. That's a thing. But it does at least establish that, okay, maybe the first Abdodula really is dead. And this is Abdodula Jr. now. So it's a little bit of lore building, I guess, that definitely, you know, caught my eye as the episode was going on.
And here's where things get really murky. This doesn't happen in the anime, but in the manga, issue 17, or chapter 17, Abdodula, the original Abdodula, does come back, maybe chapter 18, does come back as part of a tag team with a Tigerjeet Singh-based wrestler and wrestles a tag team match against Kinnikuman and Terryman. So we will see as the series goes on that for Chojin, which is the category of... We haven't talked about this too much, but we've got different categories of creatures on this show. We've got human beings and animals and normal, mundane earth creatures. We've got kaiju, who primarily seem to come from space and are mostly giant, although some, like Kinkotsuman, are small, are the same size as normal people. And then, in addition to people and kaiju, we have Chojin, which encompasses all superheroes, Kinnikuman, Terryman, the American heroes, and various other individuals on Earth and outer space. This is important because as the series goes on, we will find that Chojin have a distinct way of escaping from the great beyond and returning to the world of the living after they've been good and thoroughly killed. And we can take from this that it looks like, or we can take from the fact that Abdodula returns in the manga that perhaps kaiju have similar methods of resurrection. But here in the anime, we just have Abdodula Jr.
Okay, so they're doing a little bit of lore building here. Is this the same Sheik Seijin? Is that the same one, or this isn't another Jr. situation, right?
No, it appears to be the same Sheik Seijin.
Or Sheik Seijin.
I've been screwing that one up pretty much the entire time. I had to live with myself not being able to say Sheik for the entirety of the previous episode. But anyway, so Sheik Seijin appears to be the same one that Terryman and Kinnikuman fought in episode 1. There was no indication that they had in fact killed him. From a manga timeline, Sheik Seijin and Kinnikuman haven't even tangled for the first time yet since this is his first time coming to Earth. And it's a little bit funny that, as we'll see, he's not so interested in fighting Kinnikuman this time, whereas next time when it's one-on-one, he's actually interested in entangling with Kinnikuman. But I'm getting a bit ahead of myself here. I'll also point out it's interesting that the general briefly refers to the Sheik as a Middle Eastern wrestler and is immediately corrected. He's not a wrestler, he's a space monster. So clearly the category of kaiju is important to the lore and workings of the Kinnikuman universe.
That is quite the bit of confusion by the general, though.
He should know better. Monsters come from space. Wrestlers come from other places, including space.
Well, glad we've got that cleared up. But this is going to take a special training regimen from Kinnikuman to get ready to face all these monsters. Unfortunately, that's right before they're going to show up.
Indeed. He claims, so he needs a new finishing move because the Kaneku Flash and the Kaneku Beam aren't sufficient to beat such a horde of monsters. So he goes into training for what he claims is 4 years and 3 months, although he was told that he has 15 minutes until the monsters arrive. And this training includes putting his arms behind his back and hopping, doing a neck bridge over a campfire, and waggling dumbbells up and down while some lady rides a stationary bike behind him. And doing all of this leads to a press conference where he is able to unleash his new move, where instead of the Kaneku Beam, where he shoots a beam out of his forehead, or the Kaneku Flash, where he crosses his wrists and shoots a beam out of that, now he can leap into the air, put his ankles together, and shoot a beam out of that. And this will be his new finishing move.
Oh. Oh, great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we discover that firing these beams consumes his garlic energy, and so he powers up by roasting some garlic with a lighter and then consuming it, as one does, on a stick. And I guess he eats too much because he grows supersized and his head bursts through the ceiling of the room they're in and upsets some kind of water tank on the top of the building that he ends up wearing as a hat at the end of the press conference.
Free helmet.
I agree. Now his head is protected. He really should have kept that for the fight against the kaiju.
Yeah, about that.
Yes, indeed. So Kaneku Man goes down to the street to wait for them, and he waits, and he waits, and at 7 minutes past noon, the news comes. The horde of space monsters decided that they didn't want to waste their time fighting an idiot like Kaneku Man, and they've turned around and gone back home.
And they all live happily ever after.
They all live happily ever after. Yes, indeed. Well, that was a pretty pleasant episode.
This continues the theme that's been built on from other episodes, and I think they're laying it on thicker and heavier as they go, or maybe I just focused on it a little bit more this episode, where... And he's been portrayed this way since day one, so this isn't an entirely new thing, but they're really driving home that Kaneku Man's not terribly impressive. In fact, he kind of sucks, is the message that you take away from this. Now the monsters don't even want to fight him. You know, you had that moment earlier where he becomes possessed by the Yamato spirit and you get a sense that maybe he can rise to the occasion. But so far, he's kind of incompetent, and it seems that everybody knows it.
He's having trouble getting fights, you know? Meat came to him and complained about his lousy win-loss record in the very first episode. In the second episode, he tried to gin himself up a TV match against the Loch Ness Monster and got beat and embarrassed. And now we find that space monsters invading Earth don't even want to embarrass themselves by having to invade a planet that he's defending. So his stock seems to be dropping over the course of these episodes. And now we come to 3B, Kaneku Man's big hustle, where luckily, at first, he doesn't seem to have anything too important to do.
This seems pretty regular, although we do get the amusing side note that I guess he hosted a meeting of the Gyudon Club, which was turned into a relatively outlandish party. He's dancing naked on the table at one point. Meat is sitting there enduring this while the Gyudon Club is living it up. And I may have gotten ahead of us a little bit, but that is why in this episode when we start, Meat is tired and falling asleep in front of him.
Absolutely. So we begin on an early morning in front of the Kaneku house with Kaneku Man performing his morning calisthenics, apparently unfazed from his wild night with the Gyudon Lovers Club. Meat, on the other hand, claims that he's a normal alien and can't keep these kind of weird hours, which for some reason incenses Kaneku Man, who chases him around and then throws him over his knee and gives him a spanking as if Meat was his child and not, you know, another member of his species who just happens to be weirdly short.
And he was in some sort of motherly costume while he was doing it too. I don't know if this is a reference we're missing or if it's just, you know, kind of what you'd think, you know, the matronly Japanese woman spanking her child, but he definitely had one of those costumes appear out of thin air on him for this bit, and then it was just sort of never spoken of again.
It was quite the little sight gag, but yeah, I think it was just him appearing as a as stereotypically matronly a Japanese woman as he possibly could to give the little Meat his spanking. So after Kaneku Man spanks his Meat, Meat comes back with boxing gloves and gives him a pummeling, which Kaneku Man says, "No fair, you hit me before the bell." This makes Meat even angrier, yelling, "Who are you to always make up the rules?" And he grabs a big old mallet, chases Kaneku Man into the public washroom onto which their house is built, and gives him a good old smashin'. At which point an old lady wanders out and says, "Ah, time to start my day." Kaneku Man and Meat, having tired themselves out with their fighting, stop at the side of the road, and who do they find but one Mary Nikaido, Meat's acquaintance, a lovely young woman who runs the local preschool, or kindergarten, or whatever it is with all of the small humans, the small folk.
Yeah, if I recall correctly, I'm thinking it was kindergarten. Now, this isn't exactly the first female character we've seen featured in the series, but as we talked about last time, you mentioned to me that Kaneku Man's sister is not of particular significance and that we won't really see her mentioned a lot again. And I wasn't sure about Kaneku Man's mother, so I guess I'll come out with the question. Is this the first recurring female character of any significance that we're going to see brought forward in the show? Because this does seem like introducing the love interest kind of situation here. This, you know, seems like it's setting up something that we're going to see again.
Yes, indeed. So, yeah, pretty much at this point, I think Kaneku Man's sister might as well have run off with Hara Tatsunori of the Yomiura Giants, for all that we're likely to see her ever again. And Kaneku Man's mother will make recurring appearances, but doesn't have a whole lot to do. So we have indeed met the series' first important female character. One of the things that we will keep an eye on as time goes on is the way that the relationships develop differently in the manga and the anime. The actual specific romantic pairings don't end up being identical in the two different media. But yes, right now, Marie is here, and Kaneku Man has big googly heart eyes for her.
Well, that's been known to happen if you're a cartoon character who's in love. And he's going to put on another one of these bizarre suits that he wears. I know the last time I compared it to Matthew Lesko, it's the same kind of thing, but it's a different suit this time.
It's a different suit, but it's almost like a negative photo image of his classic cream and red suit. This suit right here is, it's kind of a maroon color with gold, yellowish kind of swirly, pointed designs, the way that his usual suit has those designs, so he has indeed put on his nice suit, and he and Meat are taking Marie up on her offer to come see her at the kindergarten whenever they'd like for some snacks. And they are basically just going over there immediately after having encountered her in the street. Although I guess Kaneku Man took enough time to change, but he was right beside his house when the encounter happened, so yeah, he was invited to visit her whenever he wanted, and so he put on a suit and went.
Yeah, well, that's when he wanted.
So they show up to the kindergarten, and the children are not delighted, but excited to see Kaneku Man. They give him the bums rush, and they all dropkick him, and they start stomping the hell out of him, which in this show is represented as kind of a hostile act, but I've known a lot of children who enjoy drop kicking, body slamming, and stomping on me, and I think that it can also be part of a loving and healthy relationship.
Yeah, well, you know, kids love to play around like that, and at that age, maybe not for Kaneko-man, we'll see that it's kind of a point that he's got some lumps on his head, but, you know, if they're not strong enough yet to do any real harm to an adult, that's the one time in your life when you can just sort of attack someone with all of your bodily power, and it's still a game, and, you know, have fun at it. So they're enjoying it while it lasts, because it's fleeting. But in this case, poor Kaneko-man does get a little bit beaten up, and this continues with the idea that I touched upon a little bit earlier, where not that he lost a fair fight to these children or anything, that's not what I'm saying, but not only is the monsters don't even want to fight him at this point, and now he's being bullied by children.
He is being bullied by children. They call him a freak. They call him a potato head. In the manga, they point out that his head is supposed to be made of metal. I guess presuming that he's some kind of Ultraman-type character with a metal head. So now we know officially that his head isn't made out of metal, in case anyone familiar with Ultraman was wondering if the same thing was true of Kaneko-man. But yeah, he needs medical attention, so they take him to the nurse's room and they start dabbing his wounds when another one of the children runs in and lets them know that two kids, including little Kazubo, who is Kazuo Nakano, a.k.a. Adaran's Nakano's, I mean, not necessarily child, just tiny doppelganger, I guess, is the better way to describe him. Just a slightly smaller version of an already small man. But yes, those kids have been taken by... Those kids have been taken by a 40-foot monster named Frankie, who lives underground, captures children, and is operating under the instructions of Kinkotsu-man, Kaneko-man's arch-nemesis, once again here to cause trouble for our hero.
Yeah, the Wish.com version of the Chief of Governors Tom Gaikot over here.
Yep, and so he's still at the point in the series where he appears in the sky, does his hew-hew-hew laugh, and then taunts Kaneko-man before letting some kind of underling monster do his dirty work. Kaneko-man initially rescues the children by drop-kicking Frankie and grabbing the children before they fall, and then sliding headfirst after his diving catch, crashing through several pieces of machinery and large vehicles, eventually smashing face-first into a rock. The ungrateful children, however, decide that they were better off with the monster because Kaneko-man is ugly and stinky and a freak, and they run back to Frankie, who is... You know, he's tickled pink to have all this attention from little Kazubo and the other kid.
He's just... He's getting ahead of himself here. He's got this attention. He's letting it go to his head.
He's letting it go to his head, and he even, in fact, calls on the director to give him a spotlight and a music cue so he can pose. Kaneko-man, of course, thinks that this is terrible and yells at the kids to come back, upon which Frankie says, hey, you know, don't you upset these children or I'm gonna beat you. And then Kaneko-man's garlic power runs out and he shrinks back to his normal size, not sufficient for fighting any sort of 40-meter monsters, and so it's left up to Meat to finish rescuing the children who unrescued themselves and take down Frankie the underground monster.
Well, he lures them away with chocolate, so the children were free to leave at any time. But they just needed sufficient motivation to do so.
And then Meat does a gimmick where he flies around Frankie a whole bunch and yells, Suachi-chi! Suachi is apparently the onomatopoeia that Ultraman makes when he blasts off and starts flying around. And doing this causes the rings that he flew around Frankie to turn into some kind of energy that causes a whole bunch of Frankie's skin to flay off gruesomely.
How horrible.
How horrible. How very grave indeed. And so Frankie is defeated. Meat gets a kiss on the cheek from Mari. Kinnikuman requests some attention himself, and he gets a hug from the little child who came to let them know about Frankie abducting the kids in the first place, whose name is also Murray.
Well, that's not exactly what he's going for, but at least one of the children is admiring him and not going to presumably bully him in the future. Maybe this will turn things around for him. I guess we'll find out in episode 4, eh?
We will indeed find out in episode 4, and we are now officially halfway through the Kaiju Extermination arc. Whereas in the manga, the first 27 episodes consist of Kaiju fighting and then the rather unfortunate didn't get adapted into anime is probably too racist and no one likes it Roots Island arc. Those two arcs comprise the first 27 chapters of the manga, but only contribute to 6 episodes of the anime as we are staring down the barrel of the Chojin Olympics. But we're not quite there yet. We've got a few more episodes of kaiju fighting in the meantime. Punch, any final thoughts on this episode of Kinnikuman?
Well, it's been a wild ride so far. We're continuing to just kind of bury Kinnikuman, though. I imagine that as the series develops its long-running arcs and we have to kind of take him more seriously, this is going to eventually turn a little bit. But I think that we've seen a couple of episodes here that have really kind of reinforced that he's pretty much incompetent and gross and weird. One thing I did notice, what were the two titles of these episodes again, if you can refresh my memory one more time?
So, Attack of the Space Monsters and Kinnikuman's Big Hustle.
Right, and neither one really described accurately what happened in that episode. The Space Monsters never attacked, and Kinnikuman didn't really have a big hustle.
He didn't have a small hustle either, quite frankly.
So, I had noticed that at the time. I just wanted to get the exact titles from you one more time, just to make sure that I wasn't off base on that. But, yeah, those things didn't happen.
No, indeed. Although, I can say that the title of the equivalent manga chapter of Kinnikuman's Big Hustle is, in fact, Cute Little Kiss, which makes a whole lot more sense.
Okay, well, that did happen. It was Meat that got the cute little kiss, but, you know, still, even so.
Even so, it happened. So, yeah, that works a little bit better.
Well, little kiss, big hustle, whatever the case may be, we've got a long journey ahead of us, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
And speaking of hustling, hustle yourself on over to musclebusting.com, where we've made some upgrades to the Muscle Fight Guide, including troubleshooting information if you are having trouble playing Kinnikuman Muscle Fight. You can also email mail@musclebusting.com with any questions or comments about this show, or any questions or comments about Kinnikuman Muscle Fight. Because we see no reason to have different emails for different purposes on this website. Let's see, what else? We've got ourselves another episode of the Super Mario Brothers Super Show, Super Blog, Super Event on the website. There's more of that. And more of that besides. And, you know, Minecraft 1.20 is out, so sooner or later you're going to be hearing some things about Musclecraft. Unless this ends up releasing after Musclecraft goes live and you heard about this from Musclecraft, in which case, hello.
Well, we always could hold off on Musclecraft until this goes live, and then we'd negate that problem.
We always could, but it turns out we didn't.
We always could, or but maybe did. We did, or maybe we didn't. To find out which one is true, listen to the podcast and watch the Musclecraft streams.
Indeed. All right. Well, that's all from TG Moxley. Rock on, Punch King.
It's been good talking to you. We'll pick this up again for episode 4 of Kinnikuman, and make sure you join us for all the fun after that.
And now, a word from the Superhero Research Institute. The Superhero Research Institute is an interdisciplinary think tank dedicated to better understanding the Chojin world. The Institute's first major project, a study of wrestling techniques used in Kinnikuman, is already underway. By cataloging gifs of every wrestling move used in Kinnikuman, we hope to better understand how Earth wrestling influenced Chojin wrestling and vice versa. Please keep listening to future episodes of the Super Muscle Cast for more from the Superhero Research Institute.
Jason has a superhero.
Nick,
Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick, Nick,